Hey everyone, welcome to My Wife the Dietitian, a weekly podcast about lifestyle and healthy eating. I'm Rob, and together with my wife Sandra, we invite you to join us on this informative yet entertaining journey through the complex world of healthy eating.
We'll cover everything but the kitchen sink. Each week, we'll discuss topics ranging from how to protect yourself from developing cancer, spicy foods to rev up the libido, to caring for your palliative grandfather with Alzheimer's.
We'll also delve into more complex issues like, what the heck is oat milk? Why doesn't my butt fit into these jeans? And every guy's favorite question, will eating spinach really make it bigger? Join us each week as we strive to educate, enlighten, and entertain you.
Does it really matter if you have that donut or an apple? People wonder if what you eat can actually affect how you feel. And can our mood affect our food choices? On today's episode, we're going to discuss 7 brain nutrients that help fuel our brain and foods to limit to help with mood. Plus, how emotions, thoughts, and feelings drive our food choices. And knowing we are what we eat, so how to unlearn poor dietary habits and the problematic mindsets that keep us stuck in eating too much junk. Episode 44, can food affect your mood and can our mood affect our food choices?
I would guess yes. I'm thinking my morning coffee definitely puts a spring in my step, and I'm grumpy when I wake up and I was like, oh, I want my coffee.
Yes.
I don't think I'm alone. I think there's lots of people that are like that.
Oh, absolutely. I think most people see the direct result of the morning coffee to wake them up. Just caffeine's a known stimulant and acts on the nervous system. But the nutrients in food can influence our biology. And the direct result is not so evident, like the caffeine and the coffee and our mood. But we know that, you are what you eat. One of the oldest sayings in the world.
Absolutely. There's actually a good quote in this magazine I was just reading. It's an article called The Hungry Brain. And the quote is, tell me what you eat and I will tell you what you are. It's by Anthelm Brillat-Savarin.
Oh, well, that's a little twist on you are what you eat. I like that.
A little twist, yeah.
Yeah, that's from the book Foods for Thought, it looks like.
Yeah, I was just flipping through that the other day.
As William James said, the brain grows to the exact modes in which it's exercised.
Which means like whatever you do, it's like a habit, forms a habit with what you're giving it all the time, what you're feeding it.
Exactly. That's
interesting.
Precisely that. And we know that our emotions, thoughts, feelings can drive what we eat. And our food choices are based on learning, like our upbringing, like how we were brought up. It's entwined in our emotions and fueled by convenience. So that all impacts, you know, the food choices we make every day. And the cool thing is, what we learn is we can actually unlearn.
Right. So, I was going to say, it sounds like we can, because it's malleable, we can change it over time.
Exactly.
By creating new routines, new habits.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good.
We know that the brain uses neurotransmitters, and these neurotransmitters, we discussed it in Sexy Foods episodes 6 and 7. The neurotransmitters like dopamine, which is the feeling of calm and relaxed, serotonin, the happy hormone, and GABA is another hormone that's like calm and relaxation feeling. And the certain nutrients in our food can affect our mood by modifying the production of the release of the natural brain chemicals, these neurotransmitters, and they help the brain cells communicate with each other.
Oh, that's neat.
And we know that if we don't have enough certain nutrients in our diet, that we can't produce enough of the neurotransmitters. So we're going to cover, can food affect your mood? And talk about the 7 brain nutrients that we need to include to make sure that our brain is fueled well and it gives us a better chance of having a good mood and being in a good headspace.
Okay, because you were saying that if there's deficiencies in these foods that you're going to list? Is that what?
Exactly.
If there's deficiencies in this, then that it will affect your mood.
That's exactly right.
Okay. I'm here. My purpose today is to be like the interpreter.
Perfect. Okay.
This is, I'm kind of confused with some of this already. So hopefully my questions will help everyone else understand what the heck Sandra's talking about.
Okay. And then the second part, well, for if food can affect your mood, we're going to talk about the foods to limit in our kind of daily habits.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about, can our mood affect our food choices and why we go for that donut versus the apple? And what are some of the factors affecting those choices we make and how we can change those?
Cool. Okay. That makes sense. So like whatever mood you're in, you make different food choices by the sounds of it. And we'll talk about why.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Okay. All right. So we're going to start with seven foods. The seven foods that if we're deficient in them, it will affect our mood.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And the nutrients that are in those foods that are key for brain health.
Right. Right. Okay. Not the seven foods, but the seven nutrients.
Yeah, exactly. Because okay. The nutrients are in lots of foods.
Exactly. Okay.
We talked about protein.
I don't think we did.
Oh, okay.
We should.
Well, I think in the Sexy Foods episode 6 and 7, we talked about neurotransmitters.
Well, we've talked about protein before, but just not today.
Okay. Well, the neurotransmitters, let me just recap a little bit from those episodes. Dopamine is the calm and relaxation.
Oh, yeah.
Hormone.
Right.
And then serotonin is the happy hormone.
Right.
And GABA is also relaxation kind of neurotransmitter.
Right. Okay.
So our protein in our diet is really important so that we have the building blocks for those neurotransmitters and hormones.
Perfect.
And the omega-3 is the next one I'm going to talk about.
Okay, omega-3, and that's from like fish and
good fats,
flax oil. Yeah.
Exactly, the healthy fats. The fish is the biggest source. We also went over the, flax seeds and chia and hemp hearts and walnuts and pumpkin seeds all have some omega-3 fatty acids that are good for our brain health.
Right. Okay.
The brain is 60% fat.
Really?
Yeah. And we want it to be mostly those healthy fats. And remember, we want to switch that or change the ratio. I think we talked in episode 23 about the fats, grease, and oil. And we want to get more of those omega-3 fats and less of the trans fats and the saturated fats and the omega-6.
Right. I remember that.
There was an interesting study with from a psychiatrist and researcher in National Institute of Health and published in The Lancet, Dr. Hibbelin. And he looked at different populations and correlated their fish consumption and depression. So they found that in Japan, the fish intake is quite high and they have the lowest rate of depression.
Well, there you go.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And then conversely, in New Zealand, they have the lowest rate of fish consumption and the highest rates of depression.
Really?
So there was this correlation. It's not a causation, but it's a correlation.
Right.
About omega-3 and depression.
Huh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And they did some blood sample analysis too with people with major depression and hostility. And they found that the people that had the lowest amount of omega-3 in their blood had a higher severity of depression and hostility.
Hmm. I love stuff like that.
Isn't that interesting?
So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's one about monkeys too that were grooming each other and they fed them a low fat diet and they fed these other monkeys a high fat diet. And they found that the monkeys that had the higher fat, that like the good plant fats and the fish fats, those monkeys actually groomed each other. They were more friendly with each other.
More nurturing. Kinda.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the ones that were on the reduced fat or the low fat, not enough of those good fats, mm-hmm. they were more hostile and angry at each other.
Oh, wow.
So those are monkey studies. It's not human, but it's there's so much more evidence coming through the literature that is showing that omega-3s are so important for our mood and our brain health. And
yeah, and it shows the relationship between your behavior and what you eat.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, it's, yeah, those things are so interesting, I find.
Just a question about protein. Was there something that when, if you're deficient in protein, does it cause anything in particular as far as your mood?
No, but that's a good question, because they do, there's studies on people that do crash diets or say they skip meals, quite, you know, erratic eating, mm-hmm. or binging on sweets and just not getting kind of that balance, those balanced meals. And they do alter their neurotransmitters because their protein levels in their diet are erratic or inconsistent.
So like it alters it in a blood test or on paper, but like not a noticeable behavior change?
That's a good question.
Because some of these will have more, like the vitamin D deficiency is going to have, or the omega-3, you're going to notice it with depression symptoms.
Right.
Potentially, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the other ones have a more obvious effect on your behavior, but the protein maybe didn't. I guess they don't all have an obvious effect is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I guess. Well, the studies show that they can, if people aren't getting enough protein, it can affect their mood, their alertness, and ability to learn.
Okay, there you go. All right, let's carry on.
Sure.
We were on omega. Are we done with omega fats and all that? Omega-3 fats.
Yeah, do you remember fish, seeds, and nuts? So fish, remember the types of fish? So the smash.
Salmon.
Yeah.
Mackerel, anchovies, sardines, and herring.
Good. Know, awesome. Right? So those are the really good ones. Low mercury,
I'm really good at crosswords too.
You are. Exactly. I could just see that on a crossword puzzle.
It's like a word puzzle.
Exactly. That's funny. And yeah, so salmon, 2.5 ounces is a good amount. Herring, it's like 1.5 ounce. 4 ounces of tuna. That wasn't on the smash, but tuna is definitely another one that's has some good omega-3s.
Yep.
And then if you don't eat fish, then maybe getting a good fish oil supplement to make sure that you're getting those omega-3s over the week.
Perfect.
And seeds, so ground chia, flaxseed, omega-3 eggs is another one, or nuts like walnuts have a good amount of omega-3.
Okie doke.
Now, vitamin D is the next one. And I think we covered a little bit of it in the episode 18, Them Bones, Them Bones, the calcium.
Oh, the calcium. Yeah, for yeah. sure.
And episode 5 in cancer prevention. And also in episode 3 with immunity, we talked about vitamin D.
That is how important vitamin D is.
Exactly.
Right?
That yeah.
That just shows it's a big one that we need to have the right amounts, because it has an impact on a lot of parts of our health.
It sure does. Yeah. And they're finding more evidence that vitamin D deficiency can relate to a low mood.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty common.
Like seasonal affective disorder in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are maybe familiar with that effect.
And you've heard about how it's a sunshine vitamin.
Yeah, I was just going to say this is something that I've learned, because I always thought, oh, if it's a sunny day in January, then I'm getting my vitamin D, but it's...
In Mexico.
Yeah, but in the northern hemisphere where we live, the sun isn't hot enough, or there's not enough...
The angle of the sun, it doesn't convert the hormone in the skin because yeah. of the latitude, exactly.
So, yeah, anyone living in the northern climates... You need your vitamin D supplements or getting it through your food.
But it's hard to get through our food.
Yeah.
We get a big chunk out of fish and a little bit in fortified milk and margarine, but we don't get it's not widespread in food at all.
Right.
There's a lot of deficiencies, especially if people are lactose intolerant or don't drink milk, don't eat fish, then they're really at high risk of vitamin D deficiency.
So that's a pretty easy one to fix. As far as, I mean, a having a supplement to get your levels up.
Yeah, like 1,000 IUs would be good. A third of Canadians are deficient in vitamin D.
Wow.
Yeah. And they find that as people live further away from the equator, so the northern hemisphere, the latitude correlates with higher rates of colon cancer, higher rates of autoimmune disorders like multiple sclerosis and lupus. So it's kind of this correlation with low vitamin D status for years and years and having more risk of developing these certain diseases.
Were those specifically vitamin D deficient related to vitamin D deficiency?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And wow. We also know there's vitamin D receptors on all our body cells. And so if we aren't getting enough vitamin D, then these receptors are not functioning as well. Like, so the whole system can be prone to irregularities. Like it's not working as it should. And so we have higher rates of breast cancer, prostate cancer, of, as I mentioned, lupus and multiple sclerosis and then also depression and low mood.
Crazy, hey? All right. What's the next
A magnesium.
Nutrient? Magnesium.
Sorry. Magnesium is it's a element, or it's a mineral in our diet, and it actually helps to make serotonin. Remember, it's the happy hormone.
Happy, happy.
And it also helps to make melatonin. You know about melatonin.
Oh, melatonin. I love that.
What do you mean you love it?
It gives you wicked dreams.
Oh, you mean if you take a melatonin pill?
Yeah, makes you sleep like a log and have crazy dreams.
Yeah, it's one that shouldn't be taken regularly, but if you need it.
Like every Friday night, maybe.
Oh, really? Okay, you're funny. How about after, if you have jet lag, or if you're maybe a shift worker and it's really hard for you to fall asleep?
Yeah, or if your wife snores, that would be another. My wife doesn't snore, fortunately, but I'm sure there's people
out
there.
I hope not. Do I?
I don't know. I'm usually so zonked out from my melatonin, I can't tell.
So funny. Our body produces melatonin, and it's good to allow our body to produce what it needs. So maybe we need to look at the sleep episode 16, all about better sleep hygiene.
Oh, are you saying I have bad hygiene?
I don't know. If you're needing melatonin every night, I didn't realize you're taking it.
I can't find the bottle. I think someone hid it. No, it does work though. That's one of those things that is a noticeable effect.
So we did get a bit on a tangent there because I mentioned magnesium helps to make melatonin and serotonin. And the thing is, when we're stressed, like when in our daily life, if we're feeling stressed, our body eliminates magnesium. So we lose more magnesium in our urine. And
then that affects your levels of melatonin and the ability to sleep.
Oh,
where you're going with that?
I wasn't going to go that way, but thank you. That's so true. I bet that's
connected
part
the dots
of it.
For you.
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. And with magnesium, it's widespread in our diet, but it's in the whole minimally processed foods, like the nuts, the seeds, the whole grains. That's where we get the magnesium and dark chocolate. And if we're eating ultra-processed foods and deep-fried, fast foods, we might not be getting enough magnesium in our diet. And there is, they've shown that a lot of people are not getting enough magnesium most days. So you pair that with being stressed and peeing out more magnesium. So your body's using up more magnesium. You're not making the melatonin because you don't have that magnesium. You're not making the happy hormone, the serotonin. And, all of these factors, it's like a vicious cycle, and it can affect our brain health, our neurotransmitters, and just our happy hormone.
You know what else it'll affect?
What?
You think I'm going to go down that road? No, it'll affect what foods we do choose to eat. Because if you're feeling, and we'll get to that in the second part of this, but if you're in a certain kind of mood, then you're like, oh, I'm feeling whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to just grab a hamburger or a bag of chips, or I don't feel like cooking dinner tonight. I'm going to have a pizza.
Exactly.
Right. So it is a vicious circle for sure.
Definitely. You hit the nail right on the head.
You thought I was going to make some sexual reference, didn't you?
I don't know.
You know what else it affects?
well, it would affect your... Yeah.
No, I didn't go there.
Okay. But you're right, though.
But
I'm
would.
Sure. I mean, if you're stressed and you're not sleeping well and you're feeling grumpy and moody and irritable and maybe, you know, down or depressed, yeah, you're not going to want to... You're right. Sex is going to be the furthest thing from your mind. Not from your mind, but
not from my mind. No, maybe near the bottom though.
Funny.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one, zinc. It's another mineral. And I know we talked about this in immunity too. We need zinc to help our body and our brain function. And we get zinc out of,
oysters.
Yes.
Spinach.
Yes.
Really? Maybe. That's a maybe.
I believe so. I know nuts and seeds, whole grains. We do get spinach. It's in the soil, so the plants grow and they have zinc. And in some animal foods like chicken and turkey, tuna, and oysters are and the mollusks. So any kind of mussels too.
Okay, but not red meat, hey?
Yes, and red meat.
Oh, and red meat. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. It's kind of widespread in the diet. But again, if you're eating ultra processed, highly processed foods or fast foods or convenience, you might not be getting enough zinc.
Right. Gotcha.
The next one is the B vitamins. So there's 8 B vitamins and we're going to focus on mainly 2 of them, B12, folate, and then the other B vitamins, B6 and, but B12, get it in...
Grains, isn't it? Don't mm-hmm. you get them? No?
It's the one that's the nutrient of concern for vegans.
Calcium? No.
I'm going to let you think about this.
Oh, we're going to be here a while.
What don't vegans eat?
Vegans don't eat meat. So you get it in meat, protein.
B12 is only in animal products.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't know if I knew that.
Yes, you did. We talked about it in episode 2.
I don't know if I remember that.
The vegetarian preteen.
That was ages ago.
I know, but...
I'm going to have to listen to that one.
Yeah, B12 only comes from animal products. So except if you have nutritional yeast, like brewer's yeast has B12.
You know, I'm confused though, because on cereal boxes, you see like good source of vitamin B or something, but it's been fortified maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm not thinking meat. I'm thinking like grains and cereal and bread. And
isn't that funny? You're right. Actually, in the last, I think, 20 to 30 years, food manufacturers have completely made cereal, like fortified them so much that it's basically you look at a cereal box and you can get, it's like a whole day's replacement.
It's
of
like
a
multivitamin.
Yeah. It's like, okay, this is not, it's just, to me, it doesn't replace a healthy balanced diet like over the day. It's just, it's one meal and it shouldn't be fortified that much.
Right. Right.
It does. It can throw off the balance of other nutrients when you do that.
Yeah. And it can confuse people.
I guess so.
Clearly.
Yeah. Okay. And then folate is one that is needed too for neurotransmitters and for our brain health. It's really important. And where do we get folate?
Oh, that one's from leafy greens.
Yes, exactly. Spinach and other leafy greens, salads.
Nice.
It's widespread actually also in the plant foods mainly.
I didn't remember that either. I just read it off your list.
Oh, that's
just so
funny.
People at home are like, "Whoa, he's getting better." But no, I'm not actually. I didn't know that either. So,
well, you know, when you go to the pharmacy and B complex, you know, the little the supplements that you can buy, vitamin B complex.
There's so many options. That confuses the heck out of me.
I know. That'll be another episode in the future for sure.
And helping Rob shop for vitamins. Yeah.
No, B complex. So under in the little like...
It is complex. It's a good term for it.
That's right. It says for stress or to help with stress. So it's one of those ones. It's like, so B vitamins are water soluble. You pee them out quickly. So they have a high half-life or a high turnover in your body. Mm-hmm. And like magnesium, when you're stressed, you go through the B vitamins more quickly. So that's why they say, hey, or buy this supplement and you're going to get more B vitamins. But if you're eating a whole minimally processed diet with lots of, you know, the foods that we talk about all the time, the vegetables, the fruits, the whole grains and nuts and seeds, avocado, you're going to get your B vitamins and you might not need a B complex. But if you also, if you take a multivitamin, then you'll be getting a little bit of B vitamins in that too.
Right, exactly. To be or not to be?
That is the question.
Yeah, that'd be a good episode name. We'll do it all about vitamin B.
That's a good idea. B, yeah, there's so many of them. B1, B2, B3, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, that's a good title too.
There we go. We got lots here. Okay, the last one we're going to cover. I think we've covered six. We went protein, omega-3, vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, B vitamins. And the last one is the gut biome. So the brain is so connected to our gut. So the gut-brain connection, and we're learning more and more about that. And we know that if you have more inflammation in your body, you can have higher rates of depression. And a lot of times our inflammation can be happening because the gut biome is off, so that we have too much bad bacteria and not enough good bacteria. And so, you know, you hear the leaky gut. I know you love that term, but you know, when you have like IBS, like irritable bowel syndrome, or you maybe we talked about the celiac. So if you have like some sort of inflammation happening in the gut, then that can relate to having higher rates of depression.
Interesting. Yeah. It's so, everything's so connected. It's really, and once you understand it, which hopefully people are getting a little bit more every week from listening to these episodes, because we talk about similar things each week. But yeah, that brain gut connection is a big one.
Yeah.
And it's all based on what you eat, you know, so it's kind of like you're feeding your brain.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And I think it was episode 19 about anti-inflammatory diet. And so we kind of went more in detail about that. But it is really important, you know, to have some sort of, you know, probiotics. So something that's helping the good bacteria grow. And then the prebiotics is the food for the probiotics. So prebiotics are pretty much fiber foods. So foods that have some fiber help the gut biome, help the probiotics grow.
Right, for sure.
So with the probiotics, can you name three probiotics that...
Was it cruciferous vegetables, or is it just more like...
Those are prebiotics. That's a good one. That's a fiber. Oh, okay. So the probiotics would be like the yogurt or the kimchi.
Oh, I was thinking kimchi, but I was thinking cabbage. Because that's what it's made out of. But it's because it's...
Fermented.
Fermented, I see, yeah.
Yeah,
same with the yogurt. It's kind of fermented a bit too, right?
Yeah, it is. Yogurt and kefir is another form of fermented milk product.
Right.
And then kimchi, sauerkraut. Mm. Those are all fermented foods that have that good, like the probiotic.
Right.
And we need to feed the probiotic because it's live bacteria. So we feed it with the prebiotic food.
Gotcha.
And those are just foods like bananas or oats, leafy greens, like foods that have fiber. The fiber helps feed the probiotics.
Right.
So that's actually, I think I've mentioned this before, but people that are on like no carbohydrate diet or low carbohydrate diet, usually they don't have enough fiber, and then they can actually offset that gut biome and have more gut infection and problems with a healthy gut because they don't have enough of those prebiotics or the fiber to help the probiotics thrive.
Right. Which would probably show up further down the road rather than the next day after stopping eating your carbs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, it's kind of more of a
long-term effect. And so people assume, oh, I'm fine. Everything's all good. But maybe in the long term, it won't be as good.
That's right. It's like, oh yeah, I lost 30 pounds, but then I developed intestinal bowel disease, colitis, or, you know, it's just so interesting when you talk to clients and you kind of do a bit of a history on, oh, you were on that diet. I see. And now you have developed this condition. Like the other day, oh yeah, I was following the keto diet, did really well. I lost 30 pounds, but now she developed non-alcoholic fatty liver and gout.
There you go.
So there's a relationship there too. And I see that in case studies all the time. So it's, you know, if we can just kind of make small changes and eat more of a balanced diet, that's better for overall health.
Exactly.
The one last thing in terms of the gut biome, I heard a really good analogy the other day. I think I told you about it, how you think of a grass or the lawn. And if you want it to grow, you don't walk on it all the time. So if you think of the gut, we want a diverse population of good bacteria. And so it needs a rest from eating. So we need to let the gut biome flourish. And if we're always eating, we're always feeding it, it can't do the work. So the whole thing about fasting or intermittent fasting, and we talked about that in episode 28. So it's really important not to be constantly eating and give your gut a break at least 12 hours, like overnight, to let the gut biome be healthy.
Kind of mini healing almost.
Yeah.
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 That exactly. makes sense. I mean, any environment that's just constantly on the go can't rest.
That's right. Too much go, not enough flow.
Yeah, there you go.
That's one about stress. I heard that. It was a really interesting when you're like constantly, and that's the next part of our talk. Well, first, so foods that we should limit and have less of to help our neurotransmitters and our brain health and our mood are what kind of foods do you think?
Ultra processed food.
Right. Yes. So less ultra processed foods. Episode 24, we talked all about how to reduce your intake of ultra processed foods. Also fast foods, deep fried, greasy foods, breaded foods. Episode 39, we talked about fatty liver, and that was kind of covered in that part, and also the fats and oils and grease in episode 23, and also charred foods. So when we did our barbecue one in the summer, episode 30, charred foods are really not great either if we're wanting to have good, healthy gut biome and neurotransmitters and our mood. So they're all kind of related.
Even though steak tastes really good, yeah, the effects of the nutrients or the lack of the nutrients, the effect it has chemically in our body.
Or yeah, if it's charred and overcooked, yeah, for yeah. sure, because then it's like creating those heterocyclamines, and the burnt food is not good.
Exactly.
And that's why breaded food isn't great either, because the same kind of reaction can happen. And then that gets into our body and it affects how our body runs and how our brain runs. Because, you know, we are what we eat, and we can either help it or hinder our body and brain on its journey to health.
Absolutely. So it might be a good time to talk about how our mood, this is part two, how our mood is affected, affects our food choices.
Right. Neuropsychiatrist John Ratty says our own free will may be the strongest force directing the development of our brain and therefore our lives. The adult brain is both plastic and resilient, eager to learn, and experiences, thoughts, actions, and emotions actually change the structure of our brains.
Wow.
By viewing the brain as a muscle that can be weakened or strengthened, we can exercise our ability to determine who we may become. There's no single magic bullet, no golden food that cures all ills, but choices matter, especially ones we repeat every day.
Yeah, for sure. That makes a lot of sense.
So when we're stressed, like when we're under stress and we have, like, as I said, too much go, not enough flow, we're busy, we're overscheduled, maybe we're not getting enough sleep because of that whole connection with the magnesium that we talked about, but for other reasons too, mm-hmm. Our adrenal glands produce too much cortisol. And so when we have too much cortisol pumping through our body, it's kind of like the fight and flight reaction. And our body actually, it increases our appetite, the cortisol. And a lot of times you know, run to the vending machine, or we go and grab a donut or get an, you know, a convenient, you know, like a Danish or something. And it helps with that craving. Remember in episode 25, we talked about how to curb cravings when we feel addicted to sweets.
Right, right.
So it's kind of all these factors, like our bad mood affects our decision-making ability. And so we are, you know, we're stressed, we're in a bad mood. And then we kind of go back to, you know, how we grew up and those comfort foods and the foods that, you know, have a good connection for us. But those foods might actually not be helpful in the long run and not helpful for our body. So it's better to, you know, have less junk food and take the garbage out of the diet, because that garbage, that's what is making who we are. Like, you are what you eat. So if you're eating garbage, you know, it's junky.
Yeah. And like I was saying about the pizza, and pizza is a bad example because it isn't one of the worst that's out there, but, you know, those go-to foods when you're feeling in that certain mood where you want that comfort food, the comfort food isn't giving you the, it's going to have a reverse effect a lot of times, because it's not, it's like Sandra said, it's junky food. So the effect that that junky food is going to have on your body is actually giving you the reverse of what you are looking for.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's displacing some of those healthier foods, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So if you eat, like, say, a big bag of chips right before dinner, then maybe you won't eat as much for dinner and you're not getting the good nutrients from the dinner food. I think part of it is plan ahead. And that's really key, is like to think ahead, plan ahead, have, you know, healthy ingredients, easy access. Already, we've talked about this before, about like having vegetables cut up and the fruit available on the counter just for all the family, so that the go-to food can be easy. Like the healthy foods can be the easier go-to foods.
Yeah, for sure. I find I definitely eat better when there's healthy options that are at my fingertips. Because when they're not there, then you start getting like, oh, well, I just want to grab something. And so all the cut up carrots are gone. What are you going to grab? Well, I guess this box of crackers is easy to grab. And, you know, so your food choices get worse and worse.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Yeah. And the other thing is with how our mood can affect our food choices. Sometimes we have problematic mindsets around food. So you think, oh, you know, it's healthy, so I can eat more of these. Like if you think of, you know, like the overly processed veggie sticks, or, you know, the things that they're actually, there's hardly any vegetables in it. It's like a little bit of spinach powder, but mostly made with the same thing as potato chips, basically. Right. And so they have this health halo around them. And in a recent episode, we talked about, I think, 5 foods that aren't as healthy as you think.
Oh, 10 foods.
Oh, 10 foods, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like we think, oh, it's healthy, so I can eat it, and then maybe you eat more. Or even like whole wheat pasta or whole wheat bread, it's, you know, it's healthy, so I'm going to eat more of it. And then, you know, the portion size is a big issue, like making sure that you don't go overboard with portions, because the quantity does have an effect on your calorie intake, and then that's, you know, there's a cycle.
I think red wine and dark chocolate are a big one.
Sounds like date night. What's on your mind? No, just kidding. You're right. People do think dark chocolate's good for me or red wine is good for me, but then end up overindulging.
Oh, red wine's good for me. I better have like 3 glasses a night.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. There's that fine balance of good and then really bad for you. You know, the one glass is good, but then any more it's getting
exactly
into that.
Yeah. There's quite a few foods that are like that, so just be careful.
Yeah.
You're not overdoing it.
Yeah. And then the last thing is the all or nothing thinking, or black and white thinking. You know, I think a lot of people that have been on yo-yo diets in the past, like diets where, you know, they do the cleanse or, you know, whatever kind of diet. And then say you have a cookie because they're free at the mall. And then they say, oh, well, I'm going to start my diet Monday. You know, I kind of screwed it up. And so it's that all or nothing thinking. And or black and white thinking, and it's too extreme. And so that's not sustainable for the long term. I think it's really important to just the 80-20 rule, and, you know, to be okay with that cookie. And you can still make healthy choices for dinner. You don't have to, you know, oh, since I had the cookie, I'm going to just like throw the diet out the window, and I'm just going to, you know, get the Big Mac and the big fries and supersize everything and, you know, right, that kind of thing. So
exactly.
So yeah, I think small changes gradually versus big grand gestures are, I think, more sustainable and more healthy in the long term.
That's excellent advice. So Sandra, back to our original question at the beginning of the episode, does it really matter if you choose a donut or an apple?
Good question. What do you think?
What do you
think? we had this long conversation, and I think it's more about the daily habits and what we're doing day after day after day and why we make those choices. So they're kind of like a reactionary choice. If we're stressed or if we're in a bad mood, then we just make that choice that we've always done since we were young, and it might not be the healthiest choice. So I think if you plan ahead and you know that you're going to be feeling a certain way at a certain time of day, or you're going to be stressed and out of time, but you know that you have packed in an apple, or you know that you have trail mix to eat, or you know that there's veggies and hummus, there's veggies cut up in the fridge. You know, if you have these things kind of pre-planned and you know what there is for food, then you don't have to feel like, oh, I gotta grab that donut, because making that choice of a donut day after day after day, you may satisfy those short-term sweet cravings, but end up with long-term detriments to your health.
They're like feel-good foods, right? That's really what they are. That's why you go to those certain foods. So what Sandra is saying is, if you prepare, figure out some healthy feel-good foods and just make sure that you have them available with you when you think you're going to need them, or always in the fridge or in your lunch bag or whatever, so that when you're hungry and you need that little hit of feel good food, your good healthy food is there for you.
Yeah. And going back to episode 25, how to curb cravings when you feel addicted to sweets. It's kind of that question of like, should I grab the donut? Well, okay, reflect. Have you included enough protein in your, you know, meals and snacks in that day? Are you eating fairly regularly? Or are you like doing the binge eating and then, you know, not eating for a day or skipping meals? So eating regularly helps to prevent cravings. Making sure that you're drinking enough water. Like, hydration's really important to prevent cravings. And maybe have something that's naturally sweet, like an orange or like dates, like dried dates, or even like talked about, bitter foods actually help with cravings. So having a radish or bitter foods like dark chocolate, that might actually help curb that craving for sweet.
There you go.
So we just, that was kind of the wrap up from episode 25, how to curb cravings, but it's kind of related to mood too. And it's kind of related to that question you had about eating an apple versus a donut.
Oh, for sure. It's related to this.
And of course, sometimes you're going to choose the donut because that's life.
Because we're human.
Yeah.
Donuts are good. Just not every day.
Yeah. And not exactly. If you can kind of plan that, okay, they're going to have donuts at work, and if it happens every day, that's not so good.
Yeah, exactly. So what are we going to talk about next week?
Next week, we're talking about the ups and downs of caffeine.
Oh, that'll be a fun one too, right?
Yeah, like grab a coffee and join us.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. This is lots of information to process. I got most of it, I think. And I hope you guys did too.
And hopefully you're eating the foods to keep your brain processing the information.
Yeah, that's a big one. So in the meantime, you can check us out on Facebook. We're now on Instagram as well under My Wife the Dietitian. Our website as well is up and running. It's mywifethedietitian.com. Check it out. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to us on any of those platforms or through our email at mywifetherd@gmail.com.
And thanks, Rob.
Until next week. Yeah, we will see you all then. Thanks for joining us today on My Wife the Dietitian. If you like what you heard, don't be shy. Leave us a comment or review and be sure to share our podcast with your friends. If you'd like to hear more, hit that subscribe button. You can also follow us on our social media pages for updates, episode trailers, and other odds and ends. For more info and links on what we discussed on today's episode, check the show notes. We'll be back next week with another informative and fun-filled episode.